This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We will have a dedicated prayer session
and a rainbow hummus recipe from the Good Food Kitchen. Be sure to stick around. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope. We are excited to be here waking up with you.
We sure are, and on this bright and sunny morning, we want to bless you through our program today. Today, friends, is National Relaxation Day. It looks like you're already getting into the mode, aren't you?
Yes, I am. This day is all about winding down and taking it easy. So, slow down. Are you ready? Take a deep breath. Hold it for a few seconds. And then relax. And let the love of Jesus enter your heart as you spend extra time in His Word and promises.
And that is exactly what our program is all about this morning, filling you with the hope and joy of Jesus Christ.
That's right. And on today's program, it's not going to be any different. We have a season of prayer lined up, a healthy recipe, and an inspiring devotional. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On August 15, 1914, the Panama Canal was officially opened to traffic, connecting the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. This engineering marvel was a monumental achievement as it revolutionized global trade and navigation by providing a shortcut for ships to bypass the lengthy and dangerous journey around Cape Horn. The completion of the Panama Canal symbolized human ingenuity, determination, and the triumph of collective effort. It opened up new possibilities for economic growth and international cooperation as well. The Panama Canal's opening reminds us of the power of unity and collaboration. Just as different nations came together to accomplish this monumental task, we, as believers, are called to work together for a common purpose.
The Bible teaches us that we are part of the body of Christ, with each member having unique gifts and talents to contribute. When we unite our efforts, we can achieve great things for the kingdom of God. Additionally, the construction of the Panama Canal required faith in the face of challenges and obstacles. In the same way, our Christian journey often involves facing trials and uncertainties. It is during these times that our faith is tested and refined. But by trusting God's guidance and providence, we can overcome obstacles and experience the fulfillment of His promises so that we can make a positive impact in the world and bring glory to God.
Amen. That's absolutely true. And now it's time for some good food from the Good Food Kitchen. Chef Jeremy Dixon is serving up rainbow hummus.
I'm going to show you now how to make a wonderful dipping platter with three different colored hummuses, rainbow hummus. So to start with, to make hummus, we want to use chickpeas. So we're going to put the equivalent of 2 cans of chickpeas in, and then we're going to put in 4 cloves of garlic. And one of the most important ingredients for hummus is lemon juice. So we're going to add at least 6 tablespoons of lemon juice. We're going to add 1 teaspoon of salt and tahini. And we're going to add 4 tablespoons. 1, 2, 3, 4. And add some water. So around about 1/2 cup of water. Let's blend it. Great. So we've got this base hummus here, and we're going to turn it into 3 different colours. So we're going to tip out 2/3 and leave ourselves with 1/3. And the first hummus we're going to make, we're going to make a pumpkin hummus, butternut hummus. So I've pre-roasted some butternut pumpkin. We're just going to throw this in with that hummus that we've got there. And this will make hummus number 1. Add some cumin as well, just 1/2 teaspoon, just to give it a bit of a Middle Eastern flavour. Blend that up. There you go. You may need to add some water just to make it the right consistency. We're just going to tip it into our bowls here. So here's the first hummus, the pumpkin hummus. So we're going to pour back in some of our original hummus and add some frozen peas. I'm going to add some fresh parsley to help it become really nice and green. Give this a bit of a blend. So I'll put the green pea hummus in there. Look at that. And now we're going to make the red hummus. Put in some of our original hummus back in. And we're going to put some beetroot, just standard canned beetroot, into the mix. There you go, I'll just drain that off into here. Put that in there with the hummus and blend it around. And you have a lovely, wonderful pink hummus. And now we're going to add other extra exciting things to the board. So we're going to start with some rice crackers. Got some nice oat crackers. A combination of fruit and dipping things. And there you go. There's our rainbow hummus. We've got a pumpkin hummus, beetroot hummus, pea hummus, with a wonderful fruit platter with crackers and yummy things to snack on. Great for any party and a great healthy way to impress your friends.
Music is calming to the soul, and we can't pass by National Relaxation Day without sharing some refreshing music with you.
And we'll forgive their sins and hear their
Right after this short break, we will welcome the Let's Pray team.
Amen. And if you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup for more exciting content and subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with all of our episodes. Welcome back. We're being blessed today on Wake Up with Hope. We long for you to experience Jesus during our program.
In Jeremiah 29, verse 12, God says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Can you picture God listening to you as you pray to Him? Join us now as the Let's Pray team leads us in prayer, and picture God right there bending down His ear to hear what we have to say.
Hello, family of God. It is time for prayer again. My name is Susan Cromwell. I'm one of two hosts for Hope Channel's Let's Pray. And it's my honor to be with you today so that we can pray to the Father in heaven. Today, I'd like to pray about pressure. There is so much pressure this time of year and really any time of year, because of the expectations of others, our jobs, the world, finances. There's just a lot of pressure. And Jesus is our answer. Really, He's the answer for everything. But I feel like maybe we should pray about feeling stress and pressure today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that we have an opportunity to come together as a community, Lord, and lift one another up, to encourage one another, Jesus, to speak words of life and truth, Heavenly Father, to surrender ourselves and our concern, our stress, and the pressure that many of us are under. Lord, there might even be parts of this community who are thinking of someone specific when we say pressure. Maybe they really need You, Father. They need You to move on their behalves, Jesus. Maybe they feel like they just cannot take another day. And so, Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are our relief, that You are a present help in times of trouble, that You are closer than a brother, and that in Deuteronomy 31, it says, it's the Lord who goes before us, that You will be with us, and that You will not leave us or forsake us, that we do not need to be afraid or dismayed. Also, Father, Psalm 34, 4 and 5 says, "I sought the Lord." Thank You, Jesus, that we are seeking You now. We believe, Lord, as this psalm says, that You will answer us, You will deliver us from all of our fears, that those who look to You are radiant, Heavenly Father, and their faces shall never be ashamed. All the circumstances that can weigh us down, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You would lift heavy burdens, because Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light, Heavenly Father. I pray, Jesus, that folks within the sound of my voice today would begin to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and hopefully for a long time, but maybe even just this moment, feel a sense of relief because of You, Father, that even though circumstances have not yet changed, our atmosphere has, our focus has, Heavenly Father, and that You're the one sustaining us. You're our glory. You're our shield about us. And You are the lifter of our head, Heavenly Father. I thank You, Jesus, that You see every need and concern. That none of this is foreign to You. None of this is unseen by You, Jesus. And Lord, circumstances that are especially difficult right now, I pray that You would help us to remember that on the other side of struggle, Father, You are bringing life. That You are able to take anything, Jesus, and make it beautiful when we surrender it to You, Lord. And that in Isaiah 26, You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on You because we trust in You, Jesus. And so, Lord, I just pray for trust for this community, Lord. I know that trust can be grown, but I'm asking for You to gift it today, Heavenly Father. Encouragement, a lightness, Heavenly Father, for the community. Thank you for letting us pray together, Lord, and just being honest about the struggle that we're in sometimes. I thank you that you are able to make our joy buoyant. And that, Father, when it feels like we're drowning, we're so grateful that our lifeguard walks on water. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Family, I just pray that you're encouraged and blessed in the name of Jesus, and that whether it's good day or good morning or good night, that the rest of your time today until you rest your head on your pillow would be a blessing for you. Bye.
Amen. Well, friends, coming up next, Jesus 101 will be with us to share an inspiring devotional thought. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We are so happy you are here.
It's now time for a devotional thought. Jesus 101 will be sharing with us this morning.
We continue with our series on the life of David after God's heart. And today we start with a psalm, Psalm 32. I want to read to you the beginning of the psalm. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He continues on to say that his bones were like dry when he wasn't confessing his sin. And then he continues on verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. This is a very interesting psalm. I hope you read it all. But he talks about the blessedness of when your sins are covered. So today we start with this question. What's the difference between covering your sin and your sins being covered? And I think my two figurings here are going to help us. Covering your sins is when you're trying to bury your sins and cover them. That's why this figurine has a shovel. It's a shovel. It's like if you're, trying to dig in and put your sins there so nobody knows about it. When your sins are covered is when you give your sins to God to cover them. So this one hides it. This one gives it up to God, confesses it, and asks God to cover it with his righteousness. That's the difference. They're opposite, right? And it happens to be that we use the same word in English. This one is trying to cover the sins. This one wants their sin covered. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the moment when David had a great sin. It wasn't a regular sin. And what I mean by that is we all are sinful and have sins. The difference of sin is when you are in rebellion against God. So you're trying to cover your sin, right? It's not that you're coming to God and say, forgive me all my sins and this happened today and please forgive me and cover my sins. The rebellion is when I don't want God to cover my sin. I want to cover myself like Adam and Eve did with fig leaves in Eden, right? So David was a man after God's own heart. You know, even God told Saul, King Saul, that he had found a man after his own heart that would replace him. And I read on 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. Now your kingdom, says God to Saul, shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people. From there on, David will be called a man after God's own heart many times, even in the New Testament, in Acts 13:22. We have the same title for David. And David became like the model king. If you go through the 1st and 2nd Kings, often God says, that king is not like my servant David, who was a man after my own heart, or who did always right, or whatever. He becomes the model king, right? God is always talking about him in a positive way. But there's one exception, and I'm going to show it to you, is in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5. David did what was right in the sight of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except, there's an exception, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. And that's the story we are discussing today. And the story is told in 2 Samuel. So we're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And what is interesting about this story is that David is already king. Everything that God had told him has been fulfilled. and he's a successful king, and God is with him, and he's a man after his own heart, after God's own heart, and he's doing good things like he did with Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9. But then on chapter 11, 2 Samuel 11, it says, verse 2, when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, it is not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? She was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And so at that moment, you think the next verse is going to say, so David said, oh, she's married. Okay, then. No, but David did not say that. Verse 4, David sent messengers and took her, and when she came to him, he lay with her. And when she had purified herself from her uncleanness, she returned to her house. And in the best soap opera style, we get verse 5. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, I'm pregnant. This is the man after God's own heart that has many, many wives and concubines the way other kings used to have. But he wants that one, the one that belongs to another man. And he thinks he's above the law. And of course, she says she's pregnant. And so he tells his commander, Joab, to bring Uriah so that he can sleep with his wife and the whole thing can be covered. He's trying to cover his sin. But Uriah comes and says, I cannot go to my house. Everybody's fighting for the king. I'm not going to go and have fun at my house. So it's not working, the plan that David has. So he sends an order that they may put Uriah in the very front of the battle and get killed. So it's adultery, homicide. You know, when you're trying to cover and cover and fig leaves are not enough and you make a hole that is bigger and bigger and deeper and you're having to go deeper in your covering of your own sin. And that's what's happening to David. And the man is killed. So he sends for Bathsheba and she becomes his wife. But the last verse of 2 Samuel 11, verse 27 says, the thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord. He thought he got away with it because he was a king and he thought he was above the law and he's in rebellion against God. He's not confessing his sin. He's trying to cover his own sin. But chapter 12 starts by saying the Lord sent Nathan because God initiates, and when God exposes a sin, it's always to save. It's not to humiliate or to just punish. It's to save. And so God sends Nathan to tell David a story. And the story is about a man, and you can read it on chapter 12, who had many flocks and herds and many sheep. He was rich. And there was one man who only had one little ewe lamb who he loved so much and was part of the family. And when a traveler came to the rich man's house, instead of killing one of his many, many, many lambs to feed this man, he went and took the one lamb that the one poor man had. David thought it was a court case because he always, you know, had to do legal things. And he was outraged. It says on verse 5, David's anger burned greatly against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. And Nathan says to him, the prophet, verse 7, you are that man. You are that man. You thought you were above the law. You are in rebellion against God. You are not confessing your sin. And this is you. You've done this. And it says that David at that moment repented. Verse 13, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And at that moment when he confesses, Nathan said to David, the Lord has taken away your sin. Of course, there would be consequences. The baby would die. But then something amazing happens. Not only does he repent and write the beautiful Psalm 51, but Bathsheba and David get together again on verse 24 and have another baby. And his name is Solomon, the wisest man on earth that God gifted them with, this wise man. Confess your sin. Let God cover it. At the cross, he made provision for your sin. So instead of trying to cover your sin, let him cover it. If you confess, he's faithful to forgive and cleanse.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Amen. And friends, thank you for spending this time with us this morning. And if you would like to learn more about Wake Up with Hope, or share us with a friend, or even watch some part of today's program again, visit us at hopetv.org/ Wake Up.
And don't forget, friends, to wake up with us tomorrow morning bright and early. We will have an inspiring message from John Bradshaw, a recipe, another enlightening episode of The Masterstroke, and so much more. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about Jesus, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study. And yes, they're free. Your very own Bible study guides, and check out the website. We are sure you're going to be blessed. Now, we have to go now, but before we do, we want to leave you with today's Bible promise. And it's found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9.
It says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go."
Amen. You know, friends, what a beautiful reminder that God's presence and support are always with us, regardless of the challenges we face. In times of uncertainty or adversity, we can draw strength from knowing that we are not alone. And this verse inspires us to step forward with confidence, trusting in God's guidance and His providence. And friends, may we all trust in His providence and protection as we follow His ways.
Amen. We have enjoyed our time with you this morning, friends, and we pray that you will keep the reminders of God's love with you throughout your day.
Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, today, Lord, we've heard very inspiring content. The songs have been so uplifting. The devotional really spoke to our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that we would keep everything in our minds. May we ponder them, think about them throughout this day. Bring it to our remembrance when we need them the most. And above all, Lord, we pray that you would guard our hearts, keep us faithful, that they would be filled with hope continuously throughout this day. We thank you, Lord, for answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.